Everybody's a little bit nervous and even very scared. What are your suggestions to make that a little bit easier on us?
That's a great question. I think it's important for us to remember that anxiety is a normal response to any type of uncertainty or unexpected change that we might experience. And right now, we're all in the same boat with our lives kind of being turned a little topsy-turvy with the social distancing mandates and all of the changes that have happened to our routine. So the first thing that comes to mind is to just give ourselves permission to acknowledge that some anxiety is okay for us to feel. And that's actually a pretty normal and healthy emotional response to changes that are happening at this level. There are some things that I think would be helpful. The first thing that comes to mind is to think about how we have dealt with uncertainty before. We all have patterns for how we deal with change. For some of us, change is easier than for others. Think about how you've dealt with change and uncertainty before and try to recall what worked, what helped you get through unexpected transitions and disruptions to your life and your functioning. Maybe it was calling for support, friends and family. Maybe it was taking a moment away. Maybe it was increasing your rest, your relaxation, adding a bit more into your exercise routine. So remembering what it is that worked before and then trying to engage those same things again. Now, with one caveat, we haven't been at this place before that we are now. So it would be pretty healthy to assume that we might need to add to whatever it was that worked before. So giving yourself permission to add one or two additional coping skills would be very helpful. And thinking about the fact that this is all new for us, adding new coping skills is done through trial and error. Not every coping skill works the same for every person. And so we do need to give ourselves a little bit of room to try things and see if they work and use the trial and error process to sort of winnow down to a good solid list of coping skills that are the most effective for us as an individual.
So you mentioned, you know, more rest, make sure you're taking care of yourself, good food, more exercise. Do you have more ideas on coping skills?
Yes, actually. You know, in the midst of the social distancing, we're getting the message to step back from each other, but we're getting that message and we're experiencing this in a time where social media is allowing us to step towards each other, but with social distancing in place. So one of the things that we need to think about is how we're going to remain connected to people, even with social distancing. And social media can allow us to do that. But not just social media, it's the other types of technology like FaceTiming and Skype and things like that could be really helpful. Thinking about inserting humor where you can in your day. So humorous podcasts, humorous experiences. You know, research says that laughter does the body good. And so giving us an opportunity to experience some humor in the midst of all of this. Staying connected through things like virtual book clubs, virtual faith services, church services, can help us stay connected even though we do feel like we are being distanced from the people that we are used to seeing on a regular basis. Think about increasing our connection with friends and family. Maybe instead of texting, maybe we call. Maybe hearing their voice can kind of help ground us. And also, a lot of people are doing very creative things here lately that include having game nights, having Bible studies, having, you know, sort of cooking nights, getting with people who have similar interests and talents and skills and hobbies and doing it over the virtual format. So these virtual platforms right now are really going to be a useful tool for us. So being able to have a game night over Zoom, being able to prepare a meal together with family across the miles and catch up when we wouldn't be able to otherwise get anywhere close to them. And so I think we're just going to have to think really creatively about how to sustain connection with social distancing in place.
Those are great ideas. So especially thinking about the kids, how can we recognize when anxiety is getting to be too much?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think one of the things to think about with children in particular is they can experience that disruption of routine in very different ways than we as adults can. A lot of things to think about in terms of watching children are watching for changes in their behavior, watching for changes in their communication. Some children might experience sleep disruption because of the increases in anxiety or fear. And I want to circle back to talk a little bit about that anxiety in a moment, but watching for changes in their communication. Are they more or less verbal? Do they seem more or less shut down, struggling to articulate what they're feeling, struggling to communicate, maybe where they're at emotionally. Distancing themselves within the home is something also to just be curious about. Doesn't always mean it's a red flag, but to just be kind of curious if they're spending a lot of isolated time secluding themselves away from family in their room, things like that. A lot of times, children and youth aren't really clear on how to hear the scary news and take it in from a perspective of what is realistically going to serve as a risk factor for them. And it all just feels very overwhelming and frightening. So in a few moments, I'm going to give you some good resources for parents to go to that actually have some verbiage for how to communicate with children and teens around COVID-19.
Okay.
To sort of help balance between honesty and transparency and decreasing the likelihood of an intensified fear response. And so I've got some good resources for your listeners for that.
Great.
Sometimes people will feel like the goal in a situation like this is to not get anxious or to keep themselves from feeling anxiety. And it's really important for people to understand that anxiety is a healthy human response to any type of uncertainty, any type of unanticipated change, even to stress. And to tell ourselves, I can't get anxious, I've got to keep this under control and not have any anxiety in my response at all, can be compared to declawing a cat and releasing the cat back out into the wild. Our anxiety is really a signal for us. It's there to help us stay vigilant. And right now, in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis, we are needing to stay vigilant about our health, about the health of our families and our loved ones and our fellow community members. And so anxiety plays an important role in that. It's actually anxiety that helps to fuel our appropriate response to the request for social distancing. The anxiety says, yes, I'm going to step back. Yes, I am not going to go to the mall. I'm not going to go to large mass gatherings. I'm going to heed that advice and align my functioning and my routine with it. And so anxiety helps us to hear that and process it in a way that alters our behavior. And so anxiety just helps us stay vigilant about the things we need to do to stay safe. And really, a realistic goal is to allow our anxiety to help us remain vigilant and help keep us from shifting into hypervigilance. And there's a difference between those two. Vigilance is about us being curious about things that pose potential risks to our safety, to our health, having a type of situational awareness, learning to allow ourselves to trust the right cues in our environment. Hypervigilance is elevated above that. And hypervigilance, I like to think of it as a hijacking of our attention system, right? So hypervigilance says any and everything is a potential risk. So the best way I can explain this is, given the current situation we're dealing with, if somebody were to enter a grocery store, a vigilant state would be to be able to get the things that they need, to be able to divide their attention and focus on the list that they need to get accomplished while they're in the store, to be able to move throughout the aisles pretty easily, to become aware of which checkout aisle they need to enter based on how long or short the line is. They're still functional. They're still able to attend. A hypervigilant state would be somebody who is hyper-focused on every noise that a person emits in their vicinity, and it hijacks their attention so that they might realize, I forgot 6 things off of the list, or I wasn't able to get through, you know, the grocery store, or I'm just not thinking straight. Whereas vigilance would say, I trust myself that if somebody coughs too close to me, my brain will shift and attend to that, and I'll be able to respond to it in a way that protects me without me having to hijack the entire attention system and only focus on the noises that I'm hearing around me. And so anxiety helps us sort of stay vigilant.
Good. I'm really glad to hear you say that a little bit of anxiety is okay.
Yes, absolutely.
We often hear it described in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is the danger of a situation like this, is that when we feel what would be considered a normal, healthy human reaction, it's really easy for us to add another layer of self-judgment on top of that and to kind of come down on ourselves. And why am I so anxious? And why am I really worried about this? And the truth of this scenario is that none of us have an instruction manual for this. None of us who are present and alive on the planet right now have had this level of experience with this type of situation. It's new to every single one of us. So it is right now a commonality across the human condition none of us know what we're doing. And there, because there is no instruction manual, I think that it's really important that we be self-compassionate, self-forgiving, and that we give ourselves permission to learn through trial and error. When we feel anxious, it's really important to ask ourselves, what doesn't feel safe right now? What do I need to feel an increased sense of control over right now? And that's where some of these creative coping mechanisms can come into play. This trial and error process of coping, though, it takes a little bit of extra energy, right? So making sure that we attend to our rest and our exercise, making sure that we stay socially connected. The technology right now is absolutely phenomenal for supporting our well-being. There are several, and I'm going to give you three today. There are several apps that the app developers have opened up premium access to the app due to the health crisis that the country is undergoing. And the first of which is called Sanvello, S-A-N-V-E-L-L-O. And it's an anxiety and depression and stress management app. And right now, its premium level of features is open for free access due to the health crisis. This app allows for mood tracking. It allows for deep breathing, guided imagery and meditation. There's a good part of the app that's about hope and positive thinking. The second app that's available right now is called Down Dog, and that's a deep breathing, kind of a body movement, has some yoga exercises in it. That one is also available for free right now. And then there's a third one called ACT or APT Companion. ACT stands for Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. It's a theoretical orientation for psychotherapy. The app developers have kind of bottled it into an app so that people can continue their therapeutic work outside of session, but they're very easy tools to engage with. And the APT Companion app has also been opened up for free access. Now, that particular app, when you register for it, it'll ask for a code. I believe the code is Together in all caps. That one in particular, I think, is not available on Android. But I would encourage your listeners to begin to search for these online resources. Check the homepage of these apps and these websites. Many of these developers are opening things up because we are truly all in this together. And so many of these developers are opening these apps up and just increasing our accessibility to these tools for our well-being. So I'd encourage your listeners to just kind of do a little bit of research and see what they can find. The other one I'd like to offer to your listeners is the APA Health Center, and that is at apa.org, and there will be a link at the top that says APA Health Center. This is the American Psychological Association's website, and they have great resources on that website, like how to talk to your children about what's going on, what the research says about how we're handling this, what's the role of stress and anxiety in our resilience. And the APA Health Center is a great resource. You know, I think that if anybody feels like this is too challenging for them, or they're struggling to even use some of the resources and tips we talked about today, they're not working, they're not taking enough of the edge off of that, and they really are feeling like they're, you know, kind of in a bit of a downward spiral, then absolutely I would encourage them to seek support through therapy. Reach out to a local counselor. I will say that many counselors across the nation, including in our area, have transitioned to online practice. And so we call that telehealth. The research says that telehealth can lead to positive outcomes as well. So it's a viable form of therapy, especially in a time like this. And so if somebody's wanting to reach out for therapy, I would encourage them to be prepared for that. And at first, that can feel a little strange and new, you know, kind of talking to a therapist when we're not used to seeing a doctor or a therapist over our computer screen. But I would encourage them to kind of lean into that temporary moment of discomfort and allow themselves to just kind of adjust. I find that a lot of people are able to easily do that, and they kind of settle into a rhythm really quickly, and they're able to get a lot out of that, especially now when many therapists simply aren't in the office.
On a personal level, I see therapy as such an awesome tool, because when we're stressed, our thoughts are going a mile a minute and we end up with this mud in our heads. And to be able to speak the words that, even as they're coming out, they don't make sense, but being able to speak them and having somebody say, well, is this what you mean? Sometimes that's all it takes to make you feel relaxed enough to be able to start thinking in logical ways.
Yes, that's a great way to put that. I love the way that you said that. Sometimes you just need help seeing through the mud.
Mm-hmm. And we've all been through a lot of mud in our life.
Yes, we have. I said, common to the human condition. This is our chance to really help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to be amazed at how we're able to rally together once we kind of give ourselves permission to figure it out as we go.